Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 18th. This is our Christmas special. It's a very special Christmas edition of our Big Brother 19 live feed update. And I've got two great guests with me here. It's a little reunion for Team Robot. I've got Jen with me. How are you doing, Jen?
I'm good. I'm really excited. The season's over in like 2 days. Couldn't be happier.
Yes, and of course, John. How you doing, John?
You know, I was studying for this podcast, and I have to say my heart shrank 3 sizes today. But I'm ready to go through it.
Yes, I believe that's what happened to Christmas over the course of Big Brother 19. This is, again, a very special edition here of the live feed update. We are going to give you a quick update on all of the nothing that's been happening on the live feeds. And then we are going to go through the game of Christmas Joy over the course of Big Brother 19. You know how they do those season long recaps on the season finale? This is like our version of it. It's the live feed version, person by person. And so we're going to be talking about Christmas here. But first, we need to talk about Paul. He's been practicing his final 2 speech on the feeds. And I've got to say, not very impressed. Yeah.
No.
Basically, it's like every single one of you wanted me out. I was the only vet. I was a big target. I was the odd man out. Such a disadvantage, being the only vet in the house. My strategy, I always had a house target. I controlled every eviction except for Cody and Jess. But even then, I flipped the house. I won 10 competitions and I was never nominated. Vote for me, friendship. Yeah.
I mean, I'd vote for you.
Jen, do you think this is going to help? I mean, basically, Paul has already won, unless this is an extremely bitter jury. If this is an extremely bitter jury, do you think this is going to help him any?
Not at all. I feel like he's focusing too much on, oh, I'm a vet. I had a really tough season. Like, I feel like he needs to own up more to kind of what he did. And yeah, I don't know. The whole friendship thing, just no, stop. I don't know.
I may have thrown in the friendship at the end as an ad lib.
I thought I saw somewhere that was actually in it, but I don't know.
It might be, yeah. You know, I was listening to it on double speed. he was repeating a lot of words. But yes, I really do. I think that everyone in that jury house recognizes that being a vet was a huge advantage. So if he tries to claim it was a disadvantage, I don't think that's going to go well for him, John.
Yeah, well, that's sort of the duality of the whole bringing a vet back into these mixed player seasons is that the vets always perceive it as a disadvantage because on paper it should be a disadvantage. They're an obvious, easy first target. But there was that article that was written a few weeks ago that like statistically broke down any season of any of these shows where we have one or only a few vets that come back. And they always, always, with the exception of like one time, make it to the final 2 or the final 3. So it's really not a disadvantage at all. And I think that the jury is sitting outside the house and like they got voted out and they, you know, they know that Paul had like the safety and the foreknowledge and all these things. They're not going to feel it that way. I mean, we've talked before about how I feel and how you feel about whether you can sway a jury or if there's a live jury. And I don't think that there will be a live jury when Paul's sitting at that final 2, but if there's any way to sway the jury, I feel like he really needs to outline what he actually did week per week. And he needs to really hone in on the fact that, like, even though I had safety, you never would have put me up. You never would have voted me out. Even though I had these things or even though I was a vet, I was still an active player in every single eviction. I won all those HOHs and POVs and things like that. You know, just talking about how he had to, like, he was up against the back of the wall the whole time. I don't think that's going to cut it.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a reason why last season, when we knew that there were 4 veterans coming into the house, we had to single those out and be like, we can't just we're going to save them for last to pick them in the draft because obviously everyone's going to want to pick the vets. And obviously this season, if we had known that Paul was going to be in this season, I chose the order. I absolutely would have been like, oh, I'm just going to go first and pick Paul because the veteran always has a huge advantage in the house if they're against new players. It's a no-brainer. They have the experience, they have the knowledge, they have, you know, the air of authority. And it's such a huge part of Paul's game. So for him to claim it as a disadvantage, I think it's honestly a lack of self-awareness. I think that he knows that it's an advantage somewhere, but in his mind, when he's crafting his own narrative, he pins it as a disadvantage because that makes him feel better about it. So I really don't think this is good for him. But again, I don't think the final two speech will matter. I think they're going to either come into that final two prepared to vote for Paul, or they're going to be coming into that final two saying no way in hell. So yeah. We also have Christmas. She also talked to the cameras. She was talking about her injury during the season and how that really impacted her. She hasn't really had the chance to mourn about it a lot because, you know, she breaks her foot. This is a huge impact on her career. And she really was just able to throw herself back into the game. And now that it's all sort of coming to a close, it's becoming a lot more real to her. Like, I need to actually face reality once I leave this house. And that's not an optimistic view, I think, she has here, Jen.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Like, I understand because it's such an important part to her career. And it might not be the same that it was. But yeah, I think it's sad and depressing.
Yeah, it's pretty depressing. She's also like, I don't know what's going to happen with my friendships, my heart. I came in with a broken heart. I might be leaving with a broken heart. I did Matt Liguori's power rankings on Rob Has a Website. You can check those out. I think he was going to get them up today. I really roasted Christmas. I felt a little bad afterward, but it was fun. And I mentioned, like, you know, all I think she needs to win this game is just like an ounce of like wanting to win, because I think if she wanted to, she could easily convince Josh to take her to the final two. Then she'd have a 50% chance of potentially winning this game. But instead, she's going to leave with a broken foot and a broken heart, and her arch rivals in Cody and Kevin will get the $25,000 that she thinks she will receive from America's Favorite. So. Not looking good for Christmas. She's pretty depressed about it. I think, you know, it happens. Broken dreams, Whitney says. Very true.
She's broken quite a few things this season. Yeah. If you break it down like that. I think that she will get over it eventually. She's a very strong person. I think that it takes a certain type of personality to get to that level of fitness in the first place. And I think that in time she will heal all of those broken things. And even if her foot never gets back to the level that it once was, you know, she still has the rest of her entire body that she can continue to, you know, work out and use for her career. And, you know, we have Olympians that are missing feet and things like that. So I think that she will find a new workout routine that works for her. And I think that everything will be fine. It may take longer to heal the broken heart and the broken dreams. Honestly, I think the saddest thing about this entire thing is that everyone in that house right now is convinced that she's going to get America's Favorite Player. And Paul is telling her that she's down for a lock for that. And Josh thinks that she's down for a lock for that. And, you know, I can see maybe some people voting for her sort of out of like pity, like you broke your foot. You know, it's very inspiring. She might get a few votes, but I know with your polls, Taryn, and just sort of what I've heard on the internet, like it doesn't even seem like she's in the top five for the running. And I think that'll be a pretty bitter disappointment.
Yeah, I don't think she's even in the top eight. I don't think she's in the top half.
Maybe.
And so, yes, we also had an interesting segment here. We had the feed watchers, quote unquote feed watchers, asking the final three some questions, and they were answering these questions. And I'm going to have to defer to you guys because I couldn't even watch this is so bad.
Yeah,
I didn't really watch it too much either. I'll be honest, like I kind of you know, shout out to Hamster Watch, like always coming in clutch. Like I read through some of the questions. They're never that great. If I were going to be asking questions, I would either go super strategic or I would go sort of super ridiculous, and these were really vanilla questions for the most part.
Hey guys, do you have any slop recipes for us?
Listen, don't ask any of these people in Big Brother 19 about cooking anything at all. We have Kevin, who, bless his heart, never learned how to cook anything at all. He was completely helpless in the kitchen. And then on the other end, we had, you know, Raven, who I'm pretty sure was actively trying to kill everyone in that house. Don't ask any of them how to cook anything. We had, what, Alex serving up raw soy dogs because she doesn't know how long to cook a GD hot dog. Don't ask them any cooking questions, please.
Hey, Paul, when's the last time you cut your beard? Forever ago, I guess.
I mean, yeah. Why? Why does that matter in any realm of anything? Like, who cares?
There really was. Like, there was no point to any of the questions. It was really bad. Don't bother. It's yeah. All right. So that's really all that happened. I mean, unless we want to like talk about Christmas, like chastising Josh for his bad relationship skills. You know, there really wasn't a whole lot else that was going on in the feeds.
I mean, is Christmas really like the relationship expert? I don't want to like really, I don't want to hammer on a soft spot, but she's not like my go-to relationship person that I would ask questions on how to be successful in a relationship.
I mean, forceful soul relationships, she's pretty good at, but, you know, well, let's analyze Christmas and find out, is she in fact, good at these relationships? So this is the segment. We're going to go through Christmas's game over the course of the season. And we're going to really, figure out like, do we have an accurate read on Christmas? Does she deserve to win this game? Who knows? Let's find out right now. Obviously Christmas started this game. She was one of the top picks coming into, the preseason. I believe Melissa chose her first in the draft. She was the number one draft pick overall. There's a lot of hype about her. She's very physical. She's very successful. So a lot of people had high expectations. And right off the bat, she does not receive a friendship bracelet and becomes one of the three nominees for the night one eviction, making the strange decision to not have this go to a competition and instead have a vote to see who's going to be evicted. She said she wanted to see who was actually loyal to her and who wasn't, which is interesting because Josh and Jason become the only two people to vote to evict her, and she's now in the final three with Josh, and she wants him to go to the final two instead of her. So interesting little thing there. But Jen, what did you do? You remember this back? You know, she makes this decision. Were you surprised too?
I was. I definitely thought she was going to pick competition, and then when she picked a vote, I was like, wait. Fitness superstar doesn't want to compete. She wants to take a vote, like, and risk that. I was very surprised by that.
Yes. Leslie said they could have gotten rid of her. She could have been the Malcolm of the season. Yes. Many mistakes were made.
What could have been?
Yeah.
I think that at one point, and I want to say maybe it was when Cameron was a guest on the podcast, but it was sort of revealed over the course of the season that there was a lot of talk during that short night one eviction process that they kind of were going to go for Cameron for a number of different reasons. Like socially speaking, he didn't really make the best first impression. There were whispers about like, oh, this is the nerd of the season. This is the super fan of the season. And there was also discussion about how like they wanted to keep the gender balance thing. I think that Christmas was relying on a lot of the other female votes because Paul coming into the house, that added an extra male. And, you know, we hate when we break these things down by sex or gender, but they're historically, you know, there are all male alliances. And I think that it was like, well, let's just get rid of Cameron because then the genders will continue to be balanced at 8 and 8. So I think that probably has a big part of why Christmas felt comfortable. I know that we also, I speculated that maybe she wanted to keep her fitness like a secret. She didn't want to sort of reveal on night one, like, yeah, I'm really, really, really good at competitions, which is funny because we never got to see how good she could have been at competitions. It would have been nice on that first night to see what she truly was capable of at her optimum, you know, abilities.
Yeah, ultimately, I think this was the correct decision because she receives the least amount of votes of the three of them. And it probably does help solidify her relationships. It doesn't show off that like, hey, you can't get rid of me in a competition. And so she survives night one eviction. Heading into the week for the first week, week one, she seems to have ingratiated herself by the time the feeds come back on with this big showman's alliance led by Cody and Jessica. She is we have the six showmance, the six people who are in the three showmances. And then we had Paul, we had Christmas, and we had Dominique. And she seemed pretty attached to Paul, but not super, super attached at that time. Cody certainly saw them as a bit of a pair, and he was not happy with them. He was sketched out by Christmas. He was definitely sketched out by Paul. And we ultimately see, even though she's doing very well socially, she has a lot of good connections. She ends up getting put up on the block because Paul was immune. John, do you fault Christmas for getting put up here?
Well, to some extent, you can probably fault anyone anytime they get put up, because the best players, you know, don't get put up. I mean, aside from that one time when Paul almost got put up, but then he ended up being immune, you know, he hasn't been nominated at all this season. We look at all of the best players of all time, and they rarely or never get put up. We talk about how Derek was never nominated in a Battle of the Block season. So I think you can fault people a little bit, but ultimately, no, I really liked Christmas a lot at the beginning of this season. And I know some people are really, really dislike her at this point. And I have to say that my opinion of her has dropped a little bit, but I'm still pretty sort of middle of the road on Christmas. I really wanted to like her all season. And I think at the beginning of the season, everything, there was always so much potential. I saw her talking to Kevin, you know, I'm sure we're going to break into this, but she had this sort of like on and again, off again, flirting friendship thing with Kevin. You know, they could have been a dynamic duo. We had, before Cody decided to obliterate his own alliance from the inside, they had this showman's alliance thing with sort of Paul and Christmas on the peripheries. And so, you know, they could have run with that. Christmas didn't really have any indication up until they tried to nominate Paul and then nominated her that Cody was going to do this. That was sort of the whole narrative of that first week, was like, why is Cody doing this? He has this alliance that he's in, and then there's the rest of the house. But instead of going after the rest of the house, he's going to target Paul, which was kind of in his alliance in that first week. And then Christmas really is just sort of attrition. You know, she's sort of just like this this damage that happens on the periphery when they can't nominate Paul, which that kind of isn't her fault either. Like, she didn't know that Paul took that temptation. So yeah, you can't really fault her too much, I think.
Yes, and ultimately, despite being put up on the block, she does manage to survive. Basically, what she does here is this really helps solidify her relationship with Paul. I don't know if a lot of people remember this, but this is when she had a very important conversation with Paul shortly after she was nominated, where they both said, like, you know what, this is it. The two of us, we're making a final two. We're going to make a run for this. We're going to keep this under the radar. You know, we don't have to talk a lot, but like, we have a bond right here, and this is going to take us down to the end of the game. And I think there were times when Paul wasn't super happy with Christmas, but just through all of that, he always felt like he had her loyalty. And I think a lot of that stems from this week, this moment. With Paul's help, Christmas is able to easily survive this this nomination, as well as her under the covers relationship. I don't know why I said that, because it's a little weird.
Not like that. Not under the covers. We've had plenty of under the covers relationships this season, but yeah, Christmas hasn't really been a part of them.
She has this under the radar relationship with Josh. After Josh is one of the votes to evict her on night one, he feels bad. He apologizes because she's one of the few people that's even willing to talk to him, and she's nice to him, and she forms this good relationship with him. And he at one point was a potential swing vote. He is firmly on board Christmas, Team Christmas. And again, this Josh Christmas Paul triangle is basically the origins of it form in this back half of week one. Jen, were you impressed by watching Christmas? Because I know I was week one, seeing like her ability here.
Yeah, I definitely was. I remember thinking that she had such a good social game at that point, and I thought that she really could be like a triple threat because she hadn't broken her foot yet. So I thought that her competition skills would be on point, her social game was really good then, and that she was able to make those connections with people who were kind of on the outs, like Josh, who everyone hated week one. She was able to connect with him really well. and Paul, that was a key connection for her. So yeah, I was impressed and I was optimistic about what was to come, but
yes,
didn't exactly play out.
Then there was some horsing around. Yeah. And well, the main event here for Christmas's game happens. She ends up breaking her foot. And this was obviously a game-changing element to her game and also a life-changing element to her life. So she ends up getting sent to the hospital and does manage to come back in time for the eviction. But again, she manages to stay here with a vote of 8-4. So pretty healthy margin. Things are looking up at this point, because basically the only reason anybody ever had to target her were her association with Paul or her physical prowess. And with the physical prowess gone and with Paul in charge of the game at this point, it seems like she's in a pretty decent spot here, John.
Yeah, well, I really think that we can't oversell this enough. Like this is such a critical moment in her life, but also in the game. Like you said, and like Jen was just saying too, like there was this thing where she had the physical, she had the strategy. She was really playing the game in that first week. But then like the alliance gets locked in and then suddenly she's no longer a physical threat. So she has no motivation to all season because no one's going to target her anymore. Imagine, if you will, let's kind of go into the Twilight Zone here and talk about what if she had never broken her foot, then maybe she would have been targeted more frequently by other people in the house. And if that happens, then Paul has some decisions to make because either he has to work overtime to keep her safe, or he has to think about cutting her. And that increases tension between her and Paul in this sort of final two deal that they have. And, you know, who knows where that goes? Maybe Christmas ends up going out at some point, and then Paul loses really what is his number one ally. I don't think that Paul and Josh would have come together to the point that they have now, to the point that they are planning on taking each other to the final two no matter what happens. I don't think that duo really hooks up without Christmas sort of bringing the two of them together. So I think this entire season is completely different. Maybe Christmas is still sitting in that final three, but maybe we're talking about her having played a much different game because she has no incentive, right? It's not about like, you know, we can criticize her for not doing stuff, but she never had to do anything. No one ever targeted her after she broke that ankle. And there was no incentive for her to do any more work overtime because Paul was doing all the work. You know, he always talks about trying to not get any blood on his hands. But up until he throws that HOH to Christmas and she's the one who has to evict Jason, you know, Paul was really taking all the heat. He was doing all the work. She just had to sit and enjoy the summer and let her foot heal. So yeah, that foot break is something that I think we're going to be talking about for a long time. And ultimately I think that 5, 6, 7 years down the road, that's what she's going to be most remembered for. And probably what this season will be most remembered for, you know, that, and obviously Paul's game.
Yeah, I think it's also really telling. I mean, we're talking about things that are being set up that are still like that basically set up what we have at the end of the game. And that's for a reason. Christmas's game is very front loaded. The majority of her game took place in week one. We saw an entirely different Christmas before she broke her foot. After she broke her foot, and who knows, maybe this is just her, but after she broke her foot, she was more aggressive verbally. She was more cranky. She was more tuned out of the game. And for all we know, that a lot of that had to do with the fact that she broke her foot. I mean, this is, again, a life-changing thing that she still hasn't really dealt with the reality of. She's been in this sort of like escapist state for a very long time. And so when she talks about like, I could play a totally different game if I came back, I think that's probably true. But from this moment on, as we're analyzing her game, it really starts to week by week, she starts doing less and less in terms of like actual gameplay and, starts being more, puppeteered by Paul. So heading into week two, she helps throw the HOH to Paul then wins the temptation, the ring of replacement. Because again, that was a good first week for her. There's a lot of sympathy regarding the broken foot. She was one of the most popular people coming into the house. So she has a lot of momentum from that. She ends up winning that vote. However, she does start to get on people's nerves in the house. And this is when, like, even though Paul had made this final two with her and they had this good relationship, he was starting to go around spreading Christmas. Why is she being so weird? She's so cranky. She's so annoying. Maybe we should be targeting Christmas soon. Paul is going around spreading that. So it's starting to look like, oh, man. Christmas, this whole thing is turning around on her already. John, were you concerned for Christmas here?
Not too terribly. She goes from one of the juiciest targets to sort of the least juicy target. You know what I mean? I believe it was, you guys all talked about it on all of the different podcasts. Just like she just kind of had a ticket to the end here. It would be silly to get rid of her when she has this broken foot. You know, we talked and it's funny that she's actually able to participate in these final three HOHs, because the talk all season was like, she's an obvious person to take to the end because you'll always beat her in those final three HOHs. And so no, I really was never worried for her in week two at all.
Yes, this is also when she goes back out to the hospital to get her major surgeries, and this is the week when she is in fact in the hospital during the live eviction, and this is when Brent is yelling from home. He's still yelling to this day. He hasn't in fact stopped yelling. Jen, what was your take on the whole Christmas situation in week two?
I thought like her voting from the hospital was a bit much. But like John said, I wasn't really too concerned about her because I felt like at that point people kind of knew like, okay, we can drag her along until we need to cut her, or at least till final three. And it would be an easy win because she couldn't really do anything. And from this point on for the next like 3-4 weeks, she was high the entire time. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is also she decides to cast a hinky vote for Ramses from the hospital. A lot of people speculated that this was just a symptom of the drugs. Why did she do this? There's still not really like a super clear answer. She said that she wanted to stir the pot, but I don't know why she felt the need to stir the pot at that time. She only really tells Paul the truth about this vote. Nobody else, I think, except for I think she told Josh eventually, but nobody else ever knew the truth. However, it did come close to being something that bit her in week three. John, what did you think of this hinky vote?
I have to agree with Jen and probably the community at large. Speaking of communities, I don't know if anyone ever watched the NBC failed comedy series Community, but there was a subplot in that series where Pierce, played by Chevy Chase, gets like addicted to pain medication. And when he's taking all the pain medication, there's like a little miniature Andy Dick that like sits on his hand, and Andy Dick tells him to do all these things. And all season long, I've just been picturing like Christmas just has like a little guy on her hand being like, hey, you should vote for Ramses. What if you do that? Like, there was no reason to do it. It did lead to a couple interesting things on the feeds, but I don't think it didn't really help her game. It didn't make her look like a better strategist. I don't think that has anything to do with why she's sitting in the final two. And another thing, I don't want to backtrack too much, but we were talking about how she was getting on people's nerves in week two. And I think that you have to always take every aspect of a person's behavior or personality or strategy, and you have to take it in relation to the other people in the house, right? Like we say like, oh, such and such a person is the best player in the game, but you have to look at who else is playing in the house. And even if Christmas is getting on people's nerves, this was a house this year that had, and it had Raven in it, and it had to some extent Paul in it. You know, people got annoyed with Paul a lot this season, and a lot of people hated Kevin, which I don't understand, but he got on their nerves too. So like, even when Christmas was not being the most sociable or most agreeable person, I don't think that she was ever the most annoying person in the house. So, yeah, that's just, I want to get that out of the way, too.
How dare you say Community was a failed show? It made it 6 seasons.
It's one of my favorite shows of all time. I just mean that it had some trials and tribulations.
all right. So, yes, heading into week three, She actually becomes targeted with Alex as the HOH. She is a highly considered target in the early parts of week three because people are assuming that she was one of those Hinkie votes for a little while. The question is looming: who voted that way? Obviously, we know it was Kevin and Christmas, but luckily for her, the fact that she's not in the house, she's actually still gone for surgery. Nobody is able to question her about that jury vote or Hinkie vote. And so really, ultimately, the blame falls on Dominique, of all people, because Dominique had acted sketchy with her talk show a few nights before. So Dominique gets the brunt of that blame, and she just crumbles under the pressure, and people forget about the Hinkie votes. They just assume it was Dominique. They assume maybe the other vote was Mark. Some people know it was Kevin, but they forget about Christmas, and they assume that Dominique was the Christmas Hinkie vote. Pretty big stroke of luck here, Jen, for Christmas.
Yeah, definitely. I think that Dominique having to take the fall and Christmas not really being there too much was definitely something that she couldn't necessarily control, but it definitely worked out in her favor.
Yes. Sure. And she really, for the rest of this week, pretty much lies low, right, John?
Well, yeah. I mean, she literally has to lie low. She's not being very mobile when she gets back into that house. And again, she garners a lot of sympathy. Not only is she sort of seen, I don't want to say as a goat, but like she's seen as no longer a competition threat, that she's seen as someone you can drag to the end. But on a personal level, it's hard, Jason was gutted. Jason felt terribly guilty for the rest of the season about what he did. And that affected their relationship going forward. Like he was very protective of Christmas, and maybe they got annoyed with each other. And ultimately, Christmas is the reason that Jason goes home. But like when she came back into that house, that was one of the more like, I think, iconic live feed moments of the season, was like everyone gathered around that table and she's just like, yeah, they thought it was 4 broken bones in my foot, but it's actually 10. And they think that I'm going to have arthritis and, my career will never be the same. And, kind of strategy that I think that we can point at Raven having all season long with sort of trying to get sympathy. I think Christmas got a lot of that right there. So she didn't need to play too much of a strategic game once she got back into the house. And she had an excuse for it. Like, it's not like, why are you laying low? Are you trying to get the target off your back? It's like, she's got a broken foot. Like, let her rest.
Yes. And this was pointed out to me. We've been talking about the insurance situation. And I do remember this now that it's been pointed out to me, that there was a conversation that happened when she came back where I believe it was Paul asked her, like, what's happening with the medical bills? And she said, I have very good insurance, so it'll be fine. But definitely alludes to the fact that her insurance is going to have to cover it. And CBS, I believe, will not be involved. So, there you go for Christmas. I also remember a lot of people were like, is she playing them? Is she lying about this? People, they're very, very quick to jump to, they must be lying. Yes, this is the week Christmas comes back. Again, lies pretty low for the rest of that week. Dominique goes home and we head into week 4 where Cody has returned from the dead, and Jessica has won HOH. Everything is looking like Paul is about to be dethroned Pauly style. Everything is coming down on Paul, except it's not, Jen.
No, for whatever reason, Paul doesn't touch the block and here we are today. He's still here. Ramses goes home. Like, the most pointless eviction. And he liked Jessica. And I still don't understand why that even happened.
Yes.
He won the veto. Like, take him off and put Paul on. Like, it's not difficult.
Christmas doesn't have a whole lot to do with this week. It's really just Paul running to Jess and Cody. Christmas obviously helps sell the story to Jess and Cody that, we're totally getting Josh out. She also helps handle Josh as Josh plays dead. She's more of an assistant here to Paul's master plan and doesn't have a whole lot to do in this week, John.
No, and I've never been satisfied with it was great when we had Jessica on the podcast and it was, you know, like seeing those eviction interviews and stuff. I've never really been satisfied with their rationale for targeting Josh instead of just targeting Paul, because when Cody came back into that house, he had his eyes on Paul because Paul was his original target, but Paul had that safety. And then Paul didn't have the safety anymore. And then also Paul's the reason that Cody got out. And then Cody got to come back into the house. And I've just never been really satisfied with their explanation because they never really even talked about, you know, backdooring Paul. Like, they really wanted to get Josh out. And I know Cody hates Josh too, and I get it. But it's like, why not target both of them? Like, Ramsey's and we talked about this, and they knew it too. Like, Ramsey's and Jessica had a pretty decent relationship. This has happened a bunch this season where it's like you're trying to backdoor someone or whoever's not your target. And so you want to have the one target, but you have to nominate a second person. And instead of nominating another target or nominating like a useless person, like you nominate sort of like one of your allies. And it turned into a narrative with Matt where it was like, oh, Matt's my ally. He'll go on the block for me. And Matt was so happy to go on the block and like do a solid for everybody. But like, when did this become normal in Big Brother that you nominate your own allies? It just doesn't make any sense. I know that it's like, well, maybe they get to play in the veto and that'll increase your odds of having the veto on your side. But it's like, don't nominate people that you have good relationships with because bad stuff can happen. And I've never been satisfied with Cody and Jessica's explanation for why they thought that was ever a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, for all the talk about like Cody, he's the only one that wasn't under Paul's spell. He's the only one that didn't do Paul's bidding. Cody and Jess, they're the only people. Do people not remember that they took out Ramsey's for Paul? Like,
right, yeah.
Like when Cody is in the jury house, like, and everyone's like, ah, why? Everyone is so stupid. Everybody listened to Paul. Everybody did what Paul wanted. And Cody's like, I didn't. It's like, you did. You took out Ramsey's, his biggest threat at the time. Like, come on. But yes, this is the week where a lot of these alliances start to shift. This is when the Showmance Alliance, Paul had been working in between those two. And we'll talk more about Paul's game when we get to Wednesday and we'll talk about Paul. But this is when his allegiances start to shift from that Showmance Alliance to this sort of makeshift Alex, Jason, Kevin, Christmas, Josh, Matt Raven side of things, leaving Mark and Elena out of it. So this is pretty big for Christmas that she's able to retain Paul's loyalty while Mark and Elena become the new targets. And this is going to become the new gameplay of make sure I stay in Paul's good graces. That's how I'm going to move forward. So this, again, this is a big moment for Christmas, but she's not doing a whole lot. She's reinforcing some relationships with Alex and Jason and Kevin, with Matt and Raven, and certainly with Paul and Josh. But apart from that, not a whole lot of strategic maneuvering, happening. And, we get Ramsey's out of the house and we move forward to, week five, Paul again wins HOH and decides to turn the target onto Jessica and Cody. Again, doesn't have a whole lot to do strategically in this week, but this is when I think a lot of people would say her true colors started to shine, John.
Yeah, well, you know, you were saying a second ago about how she stayed in Paul's good graces, but I think that a key cog to this entire season is that everyone has been a tattletale all season long. This has not been a season of keeping information to your chest or keeping secrets in the house. The reason that certain people got targeted and the reason that they went home when they did is because those people started to talk about Paul or they started to hang out with the pariahs that were in the house. The reason that Mark and Elena got kicked to the curb was because they were still friendly with Jessica and Cody. And I think that out of everyone this entire season, Christmas has never even slightly wavered with Paul as her number two. I would say that Alex is the other person that has just never, ever, ever questioned anything about Paul. You know, we know that like the whole reason that anyone even thinks that they like Josh is because he has considered thinking about voting out Paul at some point. And, you know, obviously people like Jody and Marlena, like they went against Paul and that's why they ended up going home, or that's, you know, Paul wanted them gone. You know, we've talked about how Kevin and Jason, if they had caught wind of it early enough, maybe they would have gone against Paul. But Christmas's never been in any danger because she's never spoken out of turn. Anytime that someone, like whenever Josh speaks to her all season long, she's like, no, we won't speak of voting out Paul. It's not, we're not going to do that. And so that, I'm sure that that got back to Paul.
Yes. So this is the week. Paul is HOH. Jessica has the halting hex, and Paul puts Jess and Cody up on the block anyway. And this is when that whole thing comes to a head. There's a lot of fights and arguments and pots and pans and feeds going down. And this is when they come up with the idea that they want to antagonize Cody so much that maybe he will even assault Josh and then get kicked from the game, or they'll just antagonize him enough to instigate him to just behave really poorly. And then if he behaves poorly enough, Jessica will decide not to use the halting hex in order to save him. And Christmas is really at the forefront of this plan, saying that they should question Cody's military experience, saying that that they should really like try and come at him where it hurts. Matt is saying that he doesn't really think that's a good idea. Christmas gets very annoyed at Matt for even questioning the plan, for saying that, like, what am I some villain all of a sudden? Like, no, this is a good idea. So this is, again, when a lot of the fans, I think, really started to turn on Christmas. This was not a good look. However, she was doing some decent gameplay. When Jessica was mad at Cody, Christmas had a really great conversation with Jessica where she was like, you're mad at him. That's because he sucks. You haven't made a boyfriend, but you've definitely made a girlfriend in this house. This is all, we're going to get an apartment and stuff, you know, typical sort of like bonding material. She does really well and then squanders basically all of it pretty quickly afterward. And this is really when we were just like, who is Christmas and like, what is she doing? Jen, what were you thinking at this time?
You know, I didn't like things that Cody had been saying previously in the season, and so I wasn't really the biggest fan of him. And when Kristen started doing this, I was appalled. I was like, how can you question someone's military service? And I wasn't even a Cody fan, and I was like, okay, what is going on? Like, chill. But yeah, I feel like that she started working her social game again, and then it didn't, like, it worked for temporarily. And then it went back to nothing because she shot herself in the foot.
No. It was Jason. Jason's the reason Jason that her foot is the way that it is. She didn't shoot herself in the foot.
Yes. It felt like she had a motivation to like manipulate Jessica into not using the halting hex. And like, that's what brought out the good social game in her. I really do. I think the story, and I think we'll talk about this once we finish the recap of her game, but I think the story of Christmas is that she has all the tools she needs to like do well in this game, but she doesn't care to use them. No. She just doesn't have the motivation. And again, maybe that comes from the broken foot, but I think we really see it here in this week where she's so good at manipulating Jessica and actually does have Jessica in that moment. I think Jessica is convinced to not use the halting hex. Then she has the conversation with Cody and she realizes she doesn't want to lose him. But man, Christmas was effective. If she turns it on, it works, but then she just turns it off and just gets obnoxious. So ultimately, we see the halting hex used here, and we have to go into the next HOH where Josh has won. And this is the moment when a lot of the fans were like, oh, maybe we do like Christmas because, wow, look at this. She's questioning Paul. She's telling Josh, we don't have to do everything Paul tells us to do. If we want to evict Elena instead of Jessica, we should go for it. This is looking up for all of the anti-Paul people, all of the pro-Jessica and Cody people. They're like, Christmas and Josh, they are our saviors. This is looking amazing, John.
Yeah, well, again, it's just so frustrating that she broke her foot and that she's been on medication all season, because whether we're joking or not, you really have to question whether her line of logic and her line of strategy has been affected, whether it is actually from the medication or just from sort of the emotional and physical distress of what happened to her. Because She really does go back and forth. We've all been kind of trashing her this whole podcast, but I do want to give credit that she has, when she wants to, she has the ability to have a great social game. Like I said, her and Kevin were like buddy-buddy all season long until they weren't. And yeah, I was hoping no one would do that. And then Josh, you know, she's had Josh in her pocket all season long. Like, she was the only one willing to consider Josh when no one else was. She has a great relationship with basically all of the women in the house for most of the season. Her and Jessica were on pretty good terms. Like you were saying, she almost maybe began to sway Jessica during that week when they wanted to send Cody out. She and Elena had a really great relationship. There was a moment early on in the season when the feeds came on where people thought maybe they were in a showmance or something. Like, her and Elena were very close and very physical. And it was like they clearly were very close. And from a lot of the season, Alex thought that they were best friends. If you were in a lone room with Alex, she would say that her best friend in the house next to Jason was Christmas. So I do want to give kudos for a lot of that. But then it's like, again, you know, I was just saying how she was so close to Paul and never questioned Paul. But then, yeah, I had forgotten that during this week, she was like, Josh, you're the HOH. Don't let anyone push you around. And that could have been a great week. But then as soon as Josh got on board with that and was like, yeah, maybe I can do whatever I want, then Christmas was the same person who was like, whoa, buddy, let's slow down here. Let's not do anything too crazy this week. And it's just like, it's just frustrating. Is she actually not very good at the game? Is she actually this sort of, I don't want to say schizophrenic, literally, but is she this of two minds? Or is it, you know, the trauma that she went through? And we may never know, because I really don't think that they're going to have her come back ever.
Yeah, I think that this is, you know, I mentioned this theory that I have to give credit to Reddit, that they, I read this on a Reddit thread. But this is when, you know, we're talking about, like, maybe by this point she is starting to feel a little something for Paul. And and so the idea that maybe we'll target Elena instead of Jessica is like, oh, well, Elena cuddles with Paul a whole lot. And I'm not a huge fan of that. So, you know what? Yeah, maybe we should go against what Paul is saying. It's in Paul's best interests to eliminate this. I think she even said, like, this, like, Paul might be tempted he's too close to Elena. I think she said those words. So I really do think that was potentially part of the motivation here. But then, of course, when Paul decides to step in and say, Christmas, I need you. I need you to use the ring of replacement. I really need this from you. She's like, I will rise to the occasion, Paul. I am here for you. I will use this ring of replacement and prevent Cody from playing in the power of veto. And that's, of course, going to make Jessica and Cody so mad at Christmas that any notion of keeping them in the game is going to be impossible for her. And ultimately, we see this completely recede and never show its face again. Jen, were you sad when the potentially anti-Paul Christmas died?
I was. You know, I was hoping for some other form of retaliation besides just Cody and Jess within those couple weeks. I was hoping it would be like the form of something where they could get like a little alliance going and like actually turn on them rather just being two people who can't really do much about it. But yeah, I was sad because she just became another puppet for Paul to play with for the whole rest of the season. So
yes. So Jessica goes home this week, and moving into the next week, she is part of the whole movement to again antagonize Cody. I believe this is Alex is HOH, and Cody eats Alex's cereal. Jessica gets involved in that argument. She's antagonizing Mark at this point because Mark is fully on the outs. You know, having this rehashing the fights of like, Mark, you were going to turn on me at one point, and that was mean of you, and you're stealing pillows, and she's getting all involved in all of this junk. We see Cody go home not feeling super happy with Christmas, and then of course Elena goes also in that double. This is when again, like, she's basically solidified her position here. We're thinking, you know, at this point, we're thinking Paul is still somewhat loyal to Alex and Jason, but at the very least, Christmas and Josh are going to be one of the pairs in the final five for sure. And she's pretty locked up in that. And so at this point, she is really just she's undoing a lot of the social work that she's done throughout the season by getting involved in these arguments. And again, this is really the turning point where her game just really starts to go downhill. She's firmly back in Paul's control, and that's never going to change, John.
Yeah, there's not really too much else to talk about for the rest of the season in this Christmas-centric episode. She sort of just becomes support. She is running support. She is talking to people when Paul tells her to talk to people. She's antagonizing people when Paul tells her to. It's not ever to the level that Josh is with like banging pots and pans, and it's never to the level of Raven like barking at people, but Christmas is really sort of doing a lot of that same stuff. So this is sort of, if you were a Christmas fan, I think this is the point in the season where you start to go like, maybe we backed the wrong horse here. Maybe she shouldn't have been everyone's first draft pick. I do think, you know, again, if we want to look for nuggets of credit to give her, if we're trying to spin a narrative, like how could she possibly, you know, win at any given point in this final three? Is it possible at all? I think it is important to note that Paul talks to the camera a lot throughout the season and talks to a lot of people. And in pretty much any single final five scenario, and depending on who he's talking to, he might change it a little bit because he's manipulating different people. Christmas is always in that. Even when he starts talking about final three scenarios, at certain points he's thinking like, maybe I want to cut Josh and maybe I'll put Kevin in that spot, or maybe I'll put Raven in that spot. Christmas is always in that final three spot with him, and that never wavers. And so, you know, again, we can't give her too many strategic points because Paul just kind of carries her to the end. But I guess you can give her a few social points for saying like, yeah, well, Paul trusts her implicitly to the point that he's never wavering on thinking about getting rid of her. So that's kind of the narrative of the rest of the season. There's not too much else to talk about here on out.
Yes. And then we get to week eight, where she has the HOH competition thrown to her. And she uses this HOH to take Mark out of the game. It's a very simple week here. I think she handles it pretty well. She's very straightforward with Mark. Mark doesn't leave this game with too many hard feelings for Christmas. So I think she handles it decently well here. This is probably one of the slowest weeks of the game. There's not a whole lot to talk about. She's HOH, and there's not a whole lot to talk about. She's basically following the script that Paul has laid out for her. We head into week nine, where most of what she does is Kevin is the new enemy, and now she's going to help antagonize Kevin. Is there anything in these 2 weeks that you think is worth mentioning, John?
No, not really. I will use my time to speak to bring up something that I've been thinking about for a little while here. I'm not one to really think of conspiracies, even though Paul had a lot of advantages in this game. I'm not one of these people who wants to put all of my chips in this basket and say, oh, production just wanted to give Paul the money from the beginning. However, if we look at who has sort of fallen in love with Paul this season, it's really a lot of people. Like, this whole Christmas falling in love with Paul thing is no joke. I'm sure everyone has seen those pictures on the internet of her former fiance looks strikingly like Paul. But at different points in the season, Elena has, like you guys said, cuddled with him. But also at one point, Elena was describing her perfect man, and she basically described Paul. And even Ramses, at one point, Ramses on the show was describing his perfect man, and he basically described Paul. There's a lot of people who they put in the house this year who, like, Paul is their ideal person. And, you know, Paul has this type of personality that, like, I could really kind of take or leave, and I can see why a lot of people wouldn't like him. But it seems kind of like a really big coincidence that most of the, you know, the straight women and also the gay men in the house seem like Paul is, like, their cup of tea. And so I think that is the thing that's definitely contributed to his success in the game, is that if you're into someone, you're much more apt to listen to what they have to say and want to work with them.
Yes. And again, this is, we see a lot of the antagonization toward Kevin here in these 2 weeks. She really goes after him about the whole pool situation. I think actually that might be week 10. But this is, we're starting to move the target onto Kevin. We head into week 10 and she again has the HOH thrown to her. She wants to be straightforward with Jason, which I do think is a good instinct, but she allows Paul to basically throw the wool over Jason's eyes. Paul also has this plan to use the veto on Alex that Josh is very opposed to. And it's at this time that we start to see Josh questioning Paul and Christmas getting mad at Josh for questioning Paul. Christmas allowing Paul to go through with these plans. She thinks Paul knows what's best. She is again firmly under Paul's control, even though she does have the HOH here. And she does end up sending Jason home and then survives the double eviction, I think, due to Paul's plan. So it's hard to dock her too many points for allowing Paul to go through with his whole Alex plan, because it does end up saving her from the block. However, by this point, we know that wasn't really the reason why. She's just firmly on board the Paul love train, Jen.
I mean, yeah. I mean, there's nothing really much to say except, yeah, she's fallen under Paul's spell and she's gonna.
I think this train, this love train, is starting to kind of run out of steam, you guys.
Yes.
running out of strategic Christmas things to talk about.
Yes, I said this to both Jen and John before I started this. So like, man, week one, I've got like all this stuff written out. And then as it goes, it's like helps antagonize Cody, helps antagonize Mark, has the HOH thrown to her, helps antagonize Kevin, has the HOH thrown to her. And then by week 11, it's literally she's consoling Paul when he's sad about Alex. She's alluding to her feelings for Paul on the feeds. She helps Paul by evicting Kevin, taking that heat for him. She even helps him with Alex, saying that, I basically told him that I wouldn't give him my jury vote. She is just fully on board, helping Paul get to the end. She also tells Josh that she doesn't plan on taking him to the final two, or that she doesn't know yet, and that he shouldn't take her to the final two. And then heading into this week, again, we just talked about it. She's talking about, like, I want my boys in the final two. She has fully lost any motivation to win this game. She feels like she's already succeeded. She's going to win, potentially win America's favorite. And that's where we stand with Christmas's game, heading into the final three, or the final two. She's probably not going to be there. It's looking like Josh is going to take Paul. Paul is going to take Josh. And she's not going to try to convince them otherwise. In fact, she's going to try to convince them to stay true to that decision. That's probably where Christmas's game ends. However, there's certainly a possibility that Josh ends up changing his mind. He's done it before. And if Josh does take Christmas, I do think that everything we talked about in terms of her ability socially when she wants to try, I think that might end up winning her the game. For as bad as she was in terms of her aggressiveness and her getting involved in arguments and stuff, it wasn't as bad as Josh. Looking at it, I mean, in terms of like how outwardly aggressive she was, a lot of her smack talk was behind the scenes. If she does go up against Josh in the final two, I do think she has a chance to win. And we could be talking about this very flawed player as the winner of Big Brother 19. So lots of interesting stuff here with Christmas. Jen, how do you feel about Christmas's game as a whole?
I mean, I think it was kind of disappointing because she had so much potential at first, and then her motivation just slowly started going down and she just became one of Paul's minions. And I think it was, it's depressing because I think she really could have been such a strong player had she not broken her foot, had she not fallen in love with Paul. And yeah, I don't know.
Yes. John, how do you feel about Christmas?
I think that really her high point in the season was very, very early on. She peaked very early and we've discussed ad nauseum that the foot break really sort of precipitated this downward spiral. But we do see lots and lots of potential. And I think we're just going to walk away with the season always wondering what could have been. I will say that out of everything, I think the most damning thing about her entire game is in this final four, final three, even at the final five, the fact that she was encouraging Josh to take Paul and encouraging Paul to take Josh. I think that's really the worst. I'm a big apologist. I'm a big believer that early on in the game, if you want to say, oh, I don't care if I win, or, oh, I think Raven deserves to win or whatever, I think that's actually a good strategy early on in the game. This is a long game. It's a marathon. It's 90 days. Sometimes it's 100 days. And we've seen some of the greatest players ever use that. Like Dr. Will, especially in All-Stars, was like, oh, I don't want to win. I don't even care to win. I'm just here to have a fun summer. If I get to the end, I don't want you to win. And when Dr. Will does it, we think that it's really great and really, really smart because Dr. Will is lying. But so I think it's okay if you're going to do that at certain points. But once you get down to the final five, the final four, the final three, and you start saying stuff like that, it's not a good look. And I think that with Christmas, it's coming from a place of reality. You know, I know Rob has talked a lot about Christmas seems like she's in here to promote her book, and she maybe just wants more exposure. She wants more followers for her fitness career. And I just have to wonder, was that always her motivation, or was it once she broke her foot, once she found herself in this situation where she's having feelings for Paul and she kind of has seen the way that things are being laid down and she realizes that she's probably going to get to the end, but doesn't think that she has a chance to win? You know, is she just throwing in the towel? So I do think that if she's up against Josh and she smells that maybe she could get enough votes in that final two, if somehow she gets there, that she possibly could win. But I think overall, we're looking at, like Jen said, a season of wasted potential, a season of disappointment, with the high point being sort of week one. And I really do think the low point being telling other people to take each other in this final stretch.
Yeah, you know, ultimately, I think Christmas's game comes down to what you're saying, that she just doesn't have the drive. And I do think that breaking her foot was a huge part in losing that drive. And I think that's why she talks about coming back, because she really feels like she didn't play as herself. And, you know, she talks about, like, if I came back, I'd play much more aggressively. I don't know if that's true, but I do think that what she means is that she would play to win, and she didn't play to win this time around. And I do think that she has the ability to play and potentially win. You know, she does have those good social skills when she turns it on. She does have the ability to win competitions when her foot's not broken. She does have the drive to win when she's not in love with Paul. These are all things that have prevented her from reaching her potential, I think. But potential, the Big Brother is not about potential. It's about the game that you play. And she has played, I believe, the worst game of the three of these final three. I think she had the potential. I think she had the potential to be better than Paul on his first season, if she actually tried, but she didn't actually try. She squandered all of the opportunities that she had. She you know, ruined any social capital that she obtained. It's really a story of somebody who, you know, had so much, and decided to do absolutely nothing with it except for get to the final three and leave in third place, receiving no extra money, and you know, ultimately winning the same amount as everybody in the jury except for both Kevin and Cody, probably, who will still make more than her. I think it is a sad story. I think that you know, certainly we have come to dislike Christmas for how verbally aggressive she has been in the house. But I do think there is a lot of tragedy to this. And I think, John, that you're right. I think that when we look back at this season, when we look back at Christmas, I think it will be more a tragic tale than anything else. I think we're going to remember that this was potentially going to be one of the most dominant female competitors we have ever seen on the show. And instead of getting that, we saw this broken person. And she even says that herself, that she, you know, her heart is broken. She came into this house with a lot of baggage. And I think that's what we saw play out on our screens. And, you know, for somebody that is, I think, the least likely to win of the three of these people, you know, it is pretty sad. However, unlike most seasons where I think there's usually somebody in the final three who cannot win, I do think that if Josh decides to take her, I do think she is more likely to beat Josh than anyone else, or than Josh is to beat her. And while I don't think that is particularly likely anymore, I really feel like similar to Alex when she was up on the block, like all she had to do was talk to Josh and she might have been able to be saved. I think all Christmas has to do is say, Josh, I made a huge mistake. I'm so sorry. I want you to take me. And I think that might... that might be all Josh needs to do it. I think that a large part of his decision is emotional right now, because Christmas is okay with it and Paul would not be okay with it. And Josh, as we know, he hates confrontation when he feels like he's in the wrong. That's why he got mad at Paul for forcing him to be in that position for so long in this game. I think if Christmas just asked Josh, he might do it. And again, that puts her in a position where I think she is the Cody Calafiore of this season and not Josh if he ends up taking Paul. So that's where I stand on Christmas. Any final thoughts, Jen?
Not really. I mean, yeah, no.
How about you, John?
I will say, so you said a second ago that all Christmas needs to do in this moment is to just talk to Josh. That's been a really reoccurring theme this season, hasn't it? Like you said, mm-hmm. with Alex, even early enough with Ramses, we were pulling our hair out being like, Ramses, just ask Jessica not to put you up, or Ramses, just ask Jessica to use the veto on you. This has really been a season of people that, like, if they just asked, if they just spoke, if they just tried. I personally went on a few Twitter rants this season during the double evictions, where they would, you know, Julie would be like, let's see what they're doing in the house between competitions. And, you know, Mark and Elena would just be off hugging each other because they knew one of them was going to go. And it's like, just try. Maybe you guys are the target for sure. One of you is almost definitely going to go, but like, just try. You know what I mean? If I were in the house and it was a double eviction and I knew that me or my alliance member were going and it was going to be a flip of a coin, I would stand on that damn table and I would say, gather around, everyone. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes. I got a few things to say. Like the drive was just not there for a lot of these players. And maybe it's because Paul had them all fleeced so well. But if you know you're about to go and it's a double eviction and you have 5 minutes, like, just say something. I think that's really a thread this entire season. Just say something. Try.
Just say something. We've been saying things all season long, and this will, in fact, be the last time that you see Jen and John on an update. So I want to thank you guys so much for helping me out all season long. It's been such a blast having you guys. Jen, you know, team robot all the way. So much fun talking to you.
Well, thanks for having me on. It's been fun.
Yes, and John, of course, you've been a staple of the update coverage here. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's been a good excuse to get out of bed on mornings when I didn't have to get out of bed otherwise. And if I'm being really blunt, it's also the reason that I watched the whole season. It kept me tuning in when I maybe wouldn't have otherwise. So thank you.
All right. So we will be back tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to talk to you about Josh. Again, we'll update you on anything that's happening on the feeds, but we will also be going through Josh's game. Josh was actually the most popular choice to cover here. So we're gonna get Liana, we're gonna get Puya, and Matt Ligori are gonna come on and talk through Josh's game and discover the potential winner of this season, if you want to believe in leaks. Look out for that. And of course, we'll be live tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern with the LFC Roundtable podcast, the final one of the season. We're going to be wrapping coverage up for that. And of course, Wednesday night, we will be live to talk about the season finale of Big Brother 19. And of course, lots of American Ninja Warrior coverage to check out. Check out the Taran show with Netta Kalantar that released fairly recently. Lots of great feedback for that. So plenty of stuff to go around. I want to thank you guys again for joining me. These have been so much fun all season long. So thank you everyone for joining us. We will see you next time.